But if you want to pretend, I'd gladly welcome you aboard. He spreads his thighs a little, and I roll my eyes at his lame joke. Later. Right now, I need to ask you a favor, and before you say yes, I need you to agree to all the terms. I narrow my eyes at him, and he crosses his arms. I want to have lunch with my friend Patrick. Simmer down, I say when I see him open his mouth. I want you to come with me, but I need you to play nice.
Oh, I'm going, Captain says.
I literally just asked you to go. What I need you to do is be nice. Patrick was an old friend of mine, and I want to catch up. I'm not saying I want you two to be besties, but I would appreciate the support. Think you can handle that?
Yes.
He agrees too fast, and it makes me skeptical. You promise? No alpha bullshit chest beating? He uncrosses his arms and stands up, looking down at me. Even with my skyscraper heels, he's still a head taller, and I have to admit it's intimidating.
You like it when I do my alpha bullshit.
I audibly swallow and feel my pulse move to the juncture between my legs. No matter how much I try to deny it, he's right. The shit turns me on like crazy. But that doesn't mean I have to tell him so. I like it when you give me what I want, and I want to go to lunch at noon with Patrick. He huffs, and I place my hands on his chest. And I want you by my side, okay?
Okay.
I reach up and playfully smack the side of his cheek and turn to walk away. I can feel his eyes on my ass, and I walk with a little more bounce in my step than normal to tease him. I don't know why I love pushing his buttons, but it's truly the greatest pastime of all. When I get to my desk, I text Patrick back. Me. Sounds great. Hope you don't mind, but I'm bringing my boyfriend. I feel silly typing boyfriend, but I guess that's what Captain is. Patrick texts back a thumbs-up emoji almost instantly. I look over at Captain, and of course he has his eyes on me. So I open my desk drawer and take out a lollipop. When I pop it in my mouth and suck on the end, he looks like he could spit nails. His grip tightens on his desk, and I wink at him, turning back to my computer screen. I love making that big man suffer. By the time lunch rolls around, I've eaten no less than 5 lollipops to torture Captain. When it's time to leave, he comes over to my desk and jerks the candy out of my hand and throws it in the trash.
Let's go before I take you in the bathroom and spank your little ass.
Promises, promises, I say, grabbing my bag and brushing past him. I make sure he feels the curve of my ass against his crotch, and I swear I hear him curse under his breath. We get in the elevator, and I feel the need between us charging. I plan to maul him when the elevator doors close, but just as they are about to, a hand comes through, and Jordan stops them from shutting all the way. He hops in and looks at us, smiling. He has no clue that the sexual tension between us is so tight, it's about to snap this elevator in half.
Get out, Captain says, and I put my fingers in front of my mouth to stifle a laugh.
Jordan looks between us and then slowly steps off the elevator. The doors shut, and Captain pushes a code, locking them closed and stopping us from moving. He turns to me and slowly walks over, pressing me up against the wall.
You want me to take you right here? Because I'll fuck you anywhere I want. And the way you've been teasing me today, it looks like you're begging for it.
My breathing is shaky as his hardness rubs against me.
If you behave through lunch, I'll bring you back here and give you what you want. I'll bend you over and take you hard, just how you like it. I'll make you come on my dick and tell you all the dirty shit you love to hear. But don't bait me, kitten, because you and I both know that's a dangerous game.
He steps back and hits the button for the main floor, and the elevator moves again. By the time the doors open again, I'm still flustered, but Captain doesn't have a hair out of place. He takes my hand and pulls me from the elevator as people step around us, trying to get on. Once we get outside and the fresh air hits me, I'm able to take a breath and get my head clear. Jesus, that man makes me dizzy. When we get to the coffee shop, we walk inside and see Patrick at one of the tables off to the side. He's wearing dark-rimmed glasses, and his hair is messy, but he still has the same smile from when we were kids. He's still as skinny, but only now he has some facial hair. I walk over and start to give him a hug, but Captain steps in front of me.
Hi, I'm Ryan, Paige's fiancé. It's nice to meet you.
I'm shocked on so many levels. For one, because he cut me off like we were in traffic. Second, because when did I agree to marry him? And third, because I'm kind of melting that he did all of the above. God, what is wrong with me?
I'm Patrick. Nice to meet you.
He gives Captain a genuine smile and meets his eyes. It's friendly and non-threatening. I lean around Captain and wave to Patrick, and he waves back.
I already ordered at the counter if you guys want to, or you can sit and order later, Patrick says.
You sit, Paige. I'll order.
Captain watches me as I take my seat, and I swear he's doing this so I don't make a move to touch Patrick. I indulge his alpha tendencies and sit down across from Patrick. From where my seat is, I can watch him go get in line and wait to order our food. He keeps glancing over at me, and it's kind of adorable.
I'm really glad you came today. It's been hectic with work, but I wanted to try to reach out,
Patrick says, taking my eyes away from Captain.
Me too. I've had a lot going on, and I completely forgot, so I was really happy you sent a text.
I glance back over to where Captain is and see that there's a woman beside him in line. She's checking him out, but he doesn't look her way. The line is long and it's moving slowly, so he hasn't taken a step forward.
So, what have you been up to since the last time I saw you?
Patrick's question pulls me back to the conversation.
Wow, a lot, actually.
I tell him about college, trying to keep it somewhat light and upbeat. But I want to know what happened to him. It's been sitting on my mind all these years.
What happened to you when we were kids? You disappeared.
I want to know more about him. He was the one who got up and vanished. Patrick smiles at me.
I got picked up for shoplifting, and then got put into foster care. But I got lucky. I was adopted by a really great family that helped me work through some shit and got me involved with the Big Brother program. That's what I do now. I give back and pay it forward.
That's a relief. I always thought something bad happened to you, I tell him, glad to hear everything was fine.
Yeah, we had it rough growing up, for sure, he says, taking a drink of his tea.
Looking back over to Captain, I see the woman edging closer to him. This time I see her not so accidentally brush against him, and he turns around to look at her. I'm too far away to see what she says, but she leans in and touches his arm. I feel myself growl low in my chest as a territorial wave hits me. Who does this bitch think she is? Captain says something and turns back around, ignoring her, and it eases some of my anger. I open my mouth to say something else to Patrick, but I see the woman take her phone out and point it at Captain's ass. Fiery anger rises up my neck as I see her snap a picture of his butt.
Oh, hell no!
I stand up out of my chair so fast it hits the wall. Captain turns to look at me when he hears the noise, and concern is etched all over his face. The woman isn't paying attention, and I stomp over to where she's standing. Before she can look up, I snatch the phone out of her hand. She turns to me, a mix of anger and embarrassment on her pinched face.
What do you think you...
You shut the fuck up, I say, cutting her off. The room goes silent, and I can feel eyes on us.
I saw you snap a picture of my man's ass. Number one, nobody messes with what's mine. Number two, how dare you? If you were a man and this was a woman, imagine how this would play out. You'd be called a pervert, and I'd get the cops involved. Just because you're a woman doesn't give you the right to objectify someone or take their picture without their consent. Have some respect and don't be an asshole, especially when their fiancé is standing 10 feet away. I smash the phone down on the tile floor and watch it shatter into 1,000 pieces. You owe me a phone, the woman screams. But nobody backs her up. She's alone in this, and she knows it. I don't owe you shit. You took a picture of my man, I took your phone. We're even. But I suggest you get your ass out of here before I want to get more than even. I put my hands on my hips, waiting for her to make a move. She looks around for half a second, then decides to leave. I stand there making sure she stays gone, and I feel Captain's big hands come around my waist.
Fiancé?
He asks, and I wave my hand like I'm batting the word away.
And here I thought you liked objectifying me,
he says, so low only I can hear him. Seeing the show is over, the coffee shop's patrons go back to what they were doing. I turn in Captain's arms and smile up at him. Only I get to treat you like a piece of meat. Now get me a sandwich, I'm starving. He squeezes my ass and laughs before he lets me go, and I walk back over to where Patrick is sitting. Sorry, didn't mean to cause a scene, I say, shrugging. He laughs a little and shakes his head.
You haven't changed at all.
What do you mean?
When we were kids, you used to get so pissed off when people would touch your things. I understood it, though, because neither of us had much. So what we did have was precious. I guess it's that way with you still.
I give him a half smile, thinking he's right. Yeah, I guess so. And I do love that man. I glance over and see Captain wink at me, and I feel the love in my chest. By the time our food is ready, and the three of us start eating, we're through the small talk of introductions and what we're doing now.
So, what happened with your mom and dad?
Patrick asks, looking over at Captain and then back at me. He's trying to gauge what Captain knows, and I appreciate him protecting that. She passed away. He split, I answer, trying to sum it up as quickly and painlessly as possible. I don't want to go into any more detail than necessary. Patrick was a part of that life, but it was a long time ago, and I don't really want to dig it up.
Sorry to hear about that.
We tiptoe around the bad times in our lives, trying to focus on the good. We tell Captain stories about growing up, and talking about it brings some of the better memories back to the front of my mind. The more we talk, the happier I am that Captain came and that we did this. It lets him see another part of me, and it reminds me that I'm not all doom and gloom. There are pieces of me that are still good and bright, just like the pieces he's given me. A dark-skinned guy with long dreadlocks walks into the coffee shop and smiles over at our table. I don't recognize him, but he comes straight to Patrick and gives him a kiss on the cheek.
Hey, baby, sorry I'm late.
He looks over at us and offers his hand to me.
I'm Amos, Patrick's husband.
We shake hands, and Amos joins us for the rest of lunch. It warms my heart to see Patrick so happy and in love. It's clear that the two men are head over heels, even after Amos tells us they've been together since they were 12. Captain takes my hand under the table and squeezes, and I know it's time to go. When we say our goodbyes, it's with promises to do this again, and I mean it. It's nice having a part of my past that isn't dark and dirty. It's a relief to be able to hold on to something from that time, to have a memory that doesn't remind me of what I did or didn't do. On our walk back to work, Captain brings our joined hands up to his mouth and kisses mine. My steps are light, and I feel like a weight is being lifted. Neither of us mentions the F word the whole way back. 23. Paige. When we get back to the office, I take a step toward my desk, but Captain tugs on my arm. I follow him down the hall, thinking he must want to talk to me. He was quiet on our walk and didn't say anything in the elevator on the way up. We go around the corner, and he pulls me quickly into the women's restroom, slamming the door and locking it. He grabs my hips and turns me to face the sinks. I feel his hand push on my shoulders, and I lean forward, gripping the counter. I look up to the mirror in front of me and see his angry reflection behind me. He grabs the waistband of my pants and pushes them down my hips, taking my panties with them. My lower half is exposed to him, but it's not enough. He kicks my feet apart, and he stares down at my ass as he undoes his belt. The sound of the zipper is loud in the room. Holy shit, I breathe, feeling adrenaline and excitement spike through me. His motions are jerky, and when he's free of his pants, he grabs his hard cock and strokes it.
You think I forgot about how you teased me today? I feel his wet tip rub on my ass cheek. You're lucky I don't fuck that mouth of yours to teach you a lesson, but you'd like that too much.
My mouth waters at the thought of sucking him off while he's mad. He'd be aggressive and probably lose control.
Look at you, kitten, bent over and getting wetter by the second. All I have to do is remind you that you're mine, and you're soaked for it.
He touches me between my legs with his free hand, and his fingers coat themselves in my desire. Suddenly, his fingers are gone, and I feel a stinging slap on my ass.
You ever pull a stunt like sucking on lollipops at your desk again, and I'll make my dick your candy for a week.
That's like threatening me with food. You're doing punishment wrong, Captain. There's another smack, and damn if it doesn't make me hotter.
You call me Ryan when your pussy is out. And just because I get off doesn't mean you get to. I'll make sure you go a week without a single orgasm to ease that ache between your legs.
Fuck, he's got me there. As we look into the mirror, our eyes lock, and I nod. He seems to take that as an agreement and lets go of his cock, using both hands to grab my hips.
Now if you keep quiet and give me what I want, I'll let you come. You going to be good for me, kitten?
Yes, Ryan. I don't tease him anymore because I can see how close to the edge he is. I'm dripping with anticipation of the hard fuck he's about to give me, and I don't want to do anything to derail it. His powerful thrust fills me almost to the point of pain. His big cock is longer and thicker than my body is made to take, but somehow I adjust. As if he knows I need a second, he pauses long enough for me to catch my breath before he pulls out and hammers back in. His strokes seem to go on forever, as the length of his shaft pulls out and then possessively pushes back in. He owns every inch of my body, and the thrill of being taken is like a drug. I'm dizzy with lust as I watch him take me. His face is savage, and the feel of his grip balances between pleasure and pain. My tall heels give me some height as I'm bent over, but my feet lift off the floor slightly as he fucks into me. A sheen of sweat covers my body as I try to muffle my pants and cries of pleasure. Normally, I can be as loud as I want when he makes love to me at home, but this isn't the place for that. We're right beyond our offices, and something about that makes this even hotter. He wants me so badly he can't wait to get somewhere private. He has to get inside me without a moment of hesitation. He releases my hip and brings his hand up to cover my mouth. It's what I need as my orgasm rips through my body, and I scream my pleasure into his palm. He knew I was close before I did, and he knew I wouldn't be able to stop myself from shouting.
You can't keep that sassy mouth shut, can you? He says, giving me an evil grin in the mirror.
He looks wild as he thrusts into me one last time and grunts out his release. The sight of him climaxing so hard sends more tremors through me. He's like an animal that's come to rut, and the primal part of my body is loving his rough treatment. I'm like a goddamn cat in heat getting mated by her king, and I can't say that doesn't turn me on. My legs are shaky as he pulls out slowly, and then bends down to pull up my panties and palazzo pants. I brace all my weight on the counter as he rights my clothes, and then his. Afterward, he turns me around and I fall to his chest, completely spent. I want to lie down and take a nap, but instead, He makes me stand here.
God, I love you, he says, taking my lips in a tender, sweet kiss that is the complete opposite of what we just did. I love that we can have both, the tender, sweet lovemaking where I'm on the verge of tears, and the hard, fast fucking where we are desperate for one another. Once he's kissed me so thoroughly that I want him again, he holds my waist and helps me back to my desk. He sits me down in my chair and pushes it in, then walks over to his desk and sits down. He acts like nothing happened in the bathroom, despite the fact that he had to carry me out here like I'd lost the ability to use my legs. I look over at him and see he's got his elbows on his desk, and he's looking at me with hooded eyes. It's then I realize he's got two fingers held up to his nose, and he's smelling me. Without thinking, I lean back in my chair and pull out a lollipop. I've always liked a challenge. I want to plan this out, I say, taking a bite of my sesame chicken and pointing a fork at Captain.
What is there to plan? I told you I'd take care of it.
He rubs my feet, and I want to moan with how good it feels, but I don't want to give him the satisfaction. We've been going back and forth about this since we got home, and neither of us is giving up much ground. We've skated around the subject of my dad for long enough. He knows that I want him to pay for what he did, and I want to be as much a part of that as possible. Captain thinks that I shouldn't be involved. I've got information about where he is. I found everything you need the night you caught me in the office. I've waited long enough, and I don't want to wait anymore. I point to the laptop on the table beside me, as if he can't see it's right there. He looks at me intensely, but understanding passes through his beautiful green eyes.
I will do this for you, because I don't want any of his darkness to touch you. If you step down this path, there's no going back, Paige. I'm going to protect you from what this will do to you. When it happens, you won't know about it, and I'm not going to sit here and plan out every detail of something that could take away the light in your eyes.
He leans forward and puts his hands on my knees, getting so close that he's almost in my lap. I want to hold him to me and tell him that he's right, but a part of me wants to fight for what I think I should be doing.
You remember every detail of everything that's ever happened to you, kitten. Don't let this be something else that you won't forget. I will give you the revenge you want and the closure you need, but I refuse to let you get your hands dirty. I love you too much to let you do that to yourself.
He sits up and kisses me on my forehead, then takes our empty plates to the kitchen. I sit there, listening to the water running as he washes dishes and cleans up. I think about what he said, and how I know he's right. But I also think that if I don't do this, then it will feel like I'm standing idly by all over again. If I don't make some kind of effort to plan this out, then what have I truly done to avenge my mother, besides find a man to do it for me? Does that mean I'm like her? Captain's phone rings.
Justice, he says,
and I hear him rumble a few words before ending the call. He walks out to where I'm sitting and slips on his shoes.
I've got to run upstairs for a second. Miles wants me to look at the baby monitor. He said he's having problems getting it hooked up. I swear that man is crazy. He wants his baby's crib camera circuited to the building's security feed.
I smile at him as he leans down and gives me a quick kiss before he goes. I see the laptop beside me and decide that if I give him the information, then I'm doing some kind of good. This way he won't have to take time digging on his own. I reach over and pull up the encrypted files. There could be a few things that Miles already dug up when he was closing his business deal, so it could save me some time starting here. No sense in looking up information Miles already found. It takes me a few minutes to decode some of the folders, and after a few failed attempts, I finally find one that's marked AO. I take a guess that the initials stand for Alexander Owens, and click on it. When it opens, I have to run another encryption. This must have something I need, otherwise why would it be so difficult to get to? Once it's unlocked, I see pages of documents on Alexander,
and a lot of it is business-related. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, because it could narrow down where he's working and possibly staying. I make my way through a few of them and see that Miles has pages of notes to go with each document. Miles has always been thorough. I read through a few of them and then organize them by date. I search through everything until I find a phone number. I do the search like Jordan showed me, locating his phone, then hacking into it. I start with his text messages. I stop cold when I see Ryan's name. I start to read them. My heartbeat quickens and my palms sweat. What the fuck am I reading? There's another entry a few days later. Ryan reporting in on what's happening at Osborne Corp. Months and months of texts that stopped a little over a month ago when Captain stopped responding to my father. Hey, kitten, you miss me? My whole world drops out from under me as he walks in and smiles. He sees the look on my face and he knows something's not right. What's wrong, Paige? You okay? Your face has gone solid white. I push my computer to the floor and run to the bathroom. I don't make it to the toilet before I start throwing up. I hear him somewhere behind me, but the sounds of my retching are ringing in my ears. I'm sick. I'm physically ill from his betrayal. He knew. He knew who I was before Miles did. He fucking worked for my father. The man I want dead. He betrayed me like no one ever has. And I loved him. I loved him. I reach inside the cabinet by the toilet and slip my hand around the cool metal. I twist my body and put my back against the wall, aiming my gun straight at his heart. He puts his hands up and takes a step back from me. Paige, what the fuck? The shock on his face would be comical if I wasn't shattering into a million pieces. Get out of my house, you lying bastard! You knew who he was. You even did what he said. Understanding dawns on him, and he takes a step toward me. Paige, it's not. I point the gun at the wall and fire off a round. The noise silences him, and he takes a step back. I point the gun at his heart, wanting it to break like mine is breaking. Get out. I grit through clenched teeth, and he nods. We are going to talk about this, he says, slowly stepping out of the bathroom. There is no we. Not ever again. I keep the gun trained on him, as I see hurt slice across his face. Good. He deserves this and so much more. He steps around the corner, his fists clenched at his sides, and I hear him walk through the living room, shutting the front door quietly behind him. I stay on the floor of the bathroom. I don't know how long I sit there, but every limb in my body falls asleep and my body goes numb. I want to keep throwing up, but there's nothing left. I should probably get in the shower, but I'm starting to shake, and I can't move. Time passes and my mind spaces out, like it's unable to wrap around what's happened, so it goes blank. I start to laugh, because this can't be real. I fell in love with the devil. That's when my hysterical laughter turns into sobs. I'm broken, like my mother.
24. Ryan. I stare at the closed door, my heart pounding out of my chest. My world just crumbled in front of me. Fuck! I punched a wall. My fist easily goes through the sheetrock. It's no match for my anger. I debate going back inside. It takes everything I have to keep myself in place as an inner battle rages inside me. I want to go back in and make Paige see reason, even if it means facing down a gun. I wouldn't care if she shot me, as long as she heard me out. Right now, all she's seeing is betrayal, and maybe that's what I've done. I did betray her on some level, but I never meant to hurt her. She laid herself bare to me and told me all her secrets. Yet I still kept mine hidden, because I was afraid of what she'd think when she found out. I worked for her father's organization for years, and I've been in contact with him over the past 5. I've fed him bullshit intel so that I could keep tabs on him. I've been been trying to get information on him for my handler. I've been undercover digging up dirt on Alexander Owens to bring him down, as well as his operation. He's running drugs and weapons in the underbelly of New York, using his companies as fronts. I long ago had enough information to take him down, but it just wasn't about him. It was about something bigger. But then Paige walked into my life. She sent everything into a tailspin, and I didn't know what to do. I've been pulled in so many directions over the years. It's a balancing act that I haven't mastered. It became clear as I stared down the barrel of a gun with the woman I love most in the world on the other side of it. I know exactly what I need to do. So much pain was on her face. She thought another man in her life had failed her, and I never wanted that for her. I will do anything to take that look off her face. The elevator sounds, and I turn to see Mallory getting off. Her panic clear on her face. When she sees me, her expression turns to anger as she heads right toward me. When she lifts her fist to swing at me, I don't bother trying to block it. I even let my head jerk with the punch, giving her the satisfaction she's looking for. The punch hits part of my lip, and I taste blood.
Holy motherfucker!
She yells. Paige's front door flies open.
Why the hell didn't you ever tell me how it hurts to punch someone?
Mallory is yelling, but my eyes are on Paige. She still has the gun in her hand, hanging down by her side, her face red and blotchy as tears coat her cheeks. I take a step toward her, but the look she gives me stops me dead. It's not anger. It's pain now. Deep, gut-wrenching pain that almost brings me to my knees. I put that there.
Move, asshole!
Mallory pushes me, and I step aside, letting her get to Paige. She engulfs her in a hug, and Paige's eyes fall closed as she seeks her friend's comfort, not mine. I was the one who was supposed to comfort her, not rip her apart. Mallory pulls away and pushes Paige back into her apartment.
Leave!
Mallory growls at me, before slamming the door, leaving me alone in the hallway all over again. This ends tonight. I take the stairs down to my apartment and go straight for my safe. After pulling out everything I need, I go over to my computer and reach out to another operative, one I know I can trust to never speak a word of what I'm about to do. He owes me from when I saved his sister and kept my mouth shut. I had him in my back pocket once the man who had hurt her suddenly went missing. I'm calling in my favor. Fuck everything else. Fuck the job. It stopped being about the job a long time ago. Everything I did always put Paige first. But maybe I should have taken out Alexander sooner. I wasn't sure that was what she really wanted until they came face to face weeks ago. The terror in her eyes was real. He was a monster that haunted her dreams, and only his death would bring peace. When I held her in my arms while she cried and told me what had happened to her mother, I realized what she truly wanted. I'm going to give it to her. I would have done it years ago if I had known, but I know now. I'll show her that I'll do anything for her, even if she doesn't want me after, even if everything blows up in my face, she will have peace of mind. Strapping on my guns, I take out my cell phone and toss it on the bed, not wanting to be tracked. I glance around my bedroom, wondering what Paige would think if she saw it. My walls are lined with pictures of her. She coats every inch of space. It's part of my dirty secret, my obsession with her. Hundreds of pictures that I'd collected over the years act as wallpaper. Maybe I should be embarrassed, but I'm not. Is it crazy? Yes, but it is what it is. She has fueled my life for the past 5 years. She's been my everything. Now I'm going to show her how much she means to me. I'll prove to her that I'll always do what needs to be done for her, and maybe in the end, I can have her.
25. Paige. Mallory wraps her arms around me, holding me tightly as I cry on her shoulder. She lets me get it out until no more tears can break free. I want to pull her closer and push her away at the same time. I don't want to be touched, but I feel like I'm falling apart. My world is slipping away from me. Maybe this is payback for what I've done. I forgot about my mother and tried to have something for myself. All of that has led to everything around me crumbling. Not all at once, but taking me piece by piece until there's nothing left. It feels like there's no life inside me, only emptiness. I'm left with an empty heart and hollowness in my chest. What happened? She asks, pulling back and looking at me. Her eyes go to the gun in my hand, and they widen before she can hide her reaction. Captain, I shake my head. Ryan, I correct, not wanting to use the silly name we'd given him. He works for my father. The last of my words are ripped from me. It's like I can't believe them, that they can't be true. No, she shakes her head, as much in denial as I am. I turn from her, gripping the gun tighter. I'm not sure if I can use the thing. I'd shocked myself when I shot the wall, that I actually pulled the trigger. Why does this hurt worse than losing my mother? Because I'm selfish. That's all I've been these past few weeks. I saw it. All the emails. I'd read only a few of them before I pushed the laptop away from me. I didn't want to look at it anymore. I didn't want to believe it. I'm not going to be a fool any longer. I put the gun down and pick up the laptop. Then I start typing away. What are you doing? Maybe we should call Miles. Oh, fuck, I don't know, Paige. Tell me what to do. You're scaring me. I ignore her rapid firing of questions and keep typing until I find him. Got you? I whisper to myself, picking up the gun and heading to my bedroom. I pull off my clothes and change into black running pants, a sports bra, and black hoodie. Then I pull my hair into a ponytail. You're doing it, aren't you? I look over at Mal standing in the doorway of my bedroom, tears sliding down her cheeks. I know I said... She stumbles over her words. I know I said I wouldn't stand in your way, but... Her hands go to her mouth, like she's trying to calm herself, so she can get the words out. You're my family, and I can't lose you. I know that's selfish, but please just... She repeats the word over and over, like she can't form a sentence or think of how to end it. I walk over to her, and she drops her head, our foreheads coming together. We stand there until she finally looks at me. Okay, I know, she finally says, getting herself together. It helps calm me, too, knowing I can't walk out of here with her freaking out. For so long, it's been her and me. I wish I could come with you. I shake my head at her words. Promise you'll come back. Promise me. I'll always be with you, Mal. You're the only person who's never used me. All you cared about was being my friend, and you'll never know what that means to me. The only person who really loved me. Tears stream down her face. How could I not love you? I say, grabbing her and hugging her tight, hoping this isn't the last time I see her. I know you don't believe it, but you're the strongest person I know, Paige. God, do I wish I could believe that. I feel like I could fall apart at any moment. I'm terrified at the thought of going through with this, of holding a gun to my father and pulling the trigger. I don't know if I have that in me, but I'm going to find out. Go make him wish he never fucked with you, Mal says, letting me go. I step back, going to my closet and pulling out my backpack. It's the same one I had when I lived on the streets. This time it's filled a little differently. I could disappear with this if I had to. Fade away. All I have to do is pull the trigger and go. I glance over at Mal, thinking how much it will hurt to never see her again. But how much more would it hurt to come back here? To remember Ryan? I head to the living room, grab the laptop and shove it into the bag. I look around my apartment, wondering if this is the last time I'll see it. You're thinking about running after, aren't you? She asks. You have Miles. You'll be fine.
I don't know if I'm reassuring her or myself. I know I'll be fine, Paige. That's not the point. Can I live without you? Yes. But the point is, I don't want to. We're a family. My only family, I tell her. No matter what happens tonight, I have to go for a little while. I can't come back here. It's too much, I explain. It hurts. Everywhere I look, I see him. You do what you have to do. Don't worry about me. She walks over to stand in front of me. You know where to find me. I'll always be here. And I'll always come if you call. I love you, I say, feeling the tears rise again. I love you too. She grabs me and pulls me into a hug. We hold tight before I finally let her go. Then I walk away from the only family I've ever known.
26. Ryan. You're sure he's in there? I ask into my headset, staring at the vacant-looking warehouse that's seen better days. Alexander is scurrying to clean up the mess Miles made of his life, and desperate men do desperate things, like get sloppy. It doesn't help when the people around you are only there for money, and with how unsteady things have been for him, I'm guessing his security isn't as great as it once was. I'm counting on it. Alexander's men are bottom feeders, and all the time I worked with him, never did I meet one worth anything. They drop Alexander and be on to the next. Whoever pays the most gets their protection. There's no loyalty, but there never is with men like this. If I wasn't the best for this job, I wouldn't be in your ear right now. Yeah, he's in there. There's two at the front and two at the rear entrance. You need to go silent once you leave the vehicle. There isn't much traffic down here at the docks, but you never know if a beat cop will make a drive-by. Thanks, Kearns. We're even, man. Good luck, Justice. Hope to see you on the flip side. I take off the microphone and slip from the vehicle. I park far enough away that I could see the small building, but they won't see me coming. From what I can make out, they finished packing up a shipment of what I presume is guns on a boat that they're about to clear out. I need to strike while I think they have gotten away with it. I shake my head, thinking about how poorly they are protected here and how things have really gone to shit for Alexander. Normally, they have 20 men watching his products on a job like this. He was also never at the drops and moves. I'm guessing he's trying to offload as much shit as possible, as fast as possible, with the feds crawling through all his business deals now. Making my way around to the side of the building, I stay in the shadows and don't make a sound. I take out my Beretta and screw the silencer on the end. I want this to go quietly. Just as I finish, I hear someone coming. It's from the back of the building. The two guards in the rear Kearns warned me about.
Let's load up the truck and get out of here. I'm tired and ready to go fuck that blonde. Maybe she likes both of us.
I hear the two of them talk as they walk within feet of me, and I hold my breath, waiting for my opportunity. I'll have to make it fast so they don't give me away. It takes another 10 seconds before I can get a clean shot, and I pause before I step out. Picking the guy farthest away, I take my aim straight between his eyes and pull the trigger. Not a heartbeat passes before I'm turning to the next, and I take him out too. They both fall without a single sound, and I tuck back into the shadows, slowing my breathing. I come around the corner looking for the two in front and see them leaning against a building, both smoking. They're armed, but they're distracted, and this will work in my favor. Again, I'll have to be quick so that they don't alert Alexander inside. Crouching low, I grab a rock and toss it away from me, toward a pile of old metal barrels. Both guys sit up, on alert, and look over, waiting to see if they hear something else. I fire two silent shots and they drop instantly, never knowing it was coming. Not another sound is made. Cautiously, I slip down the side and into the entrance, taking care to open the door without a noise. There's a short hallway that leads to an open area in the back, and I pause, listening. When I don't hear anything, I slowly make my way to the room. The end of the hall is lit by a bare bulb, and as I turn, I see Alexander standing with his back to me. He's leaning over a big table covered with what looks like blueprints and notebooks, and weapons to his right and left. An image of Paige pops into my head, and I grip the gun tighter, thinking that all this is for her. That I wish I'd done this a long time ago.
Turn around!
My voice echoes in the empty room and I see his jaw twitch, letting me know he heard me. Slowly he does as I ask. The initial confusion on his face is replaced by a sneer. What are you doing? I stare into the same blue eyes of the woman I love more than anything. I wonder how she came from this man. She's nothing like him. She thinks they share a darkness, but that couldn't be further from the truth. She is nothing like this man. Where he has spent his life ripping people apart to get what he wants, she has spent her life fighting a battle that isn't hers. Fighting for a mother who didn't deserve her loyalty and devotion. A mother who should have saved her, protected her from this man and the scars he left on her. He says it like he doesn't have time for this. Like my presence is annoying and not threatening. I've got a gun pointed at him, but he has no patience to deal with me. Stupid fucker. How the mighty have fallen, I tell him, glancing around the room. There's even a cot in the corner, making me wonder if he's staying here. Surely things can't be that bad. Unless maybe he's not just hiding from the feds. Maybe some of his own had turned on him. I wouldn't be surprised. With how everything is closing in on him, I'm sure Alexander would be more than willing to cut a deal now to keep his ass out of jail. He stands a little taller. All those years next to Miles and you didn't see this coming? What was I fucking paying you for? He points at me, his face growing redder with each second. For a guy who built an empire, he isn't that smart. Or maybe his balls are that big. I haven't been in contact with Alexander in over a month, not since Miles started slipping his world out from under him. That should have clued Alexander in. No one goes dark without a reason, and mine should have been clear. He should have known I was no longer on her side. Let's not beat around this. I never worked for you. He looks even older than he did the last time I saw him. FBI, he finally grits out. I shake my head. He actually sounded a little relieved when asking that question, so it leads me to think someone bigger might be hunting for him. No, if I was FBI, we would have grabbed him already. That wasn't what my mission was. I was here for intel, to find out who Alexander worked for and worked with, because men like Alexander, it doesn't matter if you take him out. If it did, he'd have been thrown in jail a long time ago. No. Men like Alexander were a dime a dozen. As soon as you pulled him, another one like him would pop up like a fucking weed. You'd had to get to the root of the problem. You had to take them all down. Not one man in a group. In order to make real changes, the whole lot would have to go. I'm here for Paige, I throw back at him, because that's the truth. This might have started as some job, but it wasn't that anymore. Not since the first time I'd seen her picture. Everything changed that day. Before, I was doing a job, not even one I enjoyed. Over time, getting dirtier and dirtier, I found the lines between what was right and what wasn't was beginning to blur. It made me question who I was and what I'd been doing, and if it'd been worth it to crawl around in the filth, never seeming to get anywhere but deeper and deeper undercover. Everyone and everything started to look dirty, even myself. Then there she was. I knew in that moment that she was my reason. The path I'd been on was to get to her. I'd crawl through any filth to reach her. The only reason I was standing here right now was for her and her alone. I don't care about my mission anymore. None of that matters. She's all that matters. Making her nightmares disappear is my only objective. I'll give her that if that's the last thing I ever do. His face scrunches with disgust. Just like her mother, I see. Getting men's attention with her pussy. All they're good for. He shrugs one shoulder as if Paige and her mother are nothing more than trash. Maybe he really has gone off the deep end. I'm standing here holding a gun to his head, and he's done nothing to protect himself. He must feel the shift in the room. The anger pulses off me and fills up the space. The smirk drops from his face. You didn't even know who she was until I told you. Never said it started with her, I say flatly. So, you're some kind of cop? I don't answer him. He starts to move, and I take a step closer to him. He holds his hands up.
I've got this. It will make your fucking career. He nods towards a stack of books. 30 cops, senators. There are names in there you wouldn't believe. I stare at him, letting him run his mouth. You don't want it? Fine. I can get you money. How much do you want?
I don't want your money. I enjoy watching him squirm. A dark part of me wants to do other things to him. Make him cry and beg after all the years he's haunted my page. Make him pay for all of it. A single shot to the head seems too fair.
What do you want? I'll get it. I can get you anything.
He drops his hands to his sides, his fist clenching. Clearly not a man who likes to beg. Probably never begged for a thing in his life, thinking it was too important to do something like that. Only thing I wanted is you dead.
Why?
He takes a step back. There's nowhere to go. I told you that already. I'm here for Paige. He studies me for a second, trying to get a read on me, but I give him nothing.
She hired you.
No. He lets out a humorless laugh.
You love her.
And his tone suggests it's the stupidest thing in the world, an emotion I'm sure he can't comprehend.
You came here to kill the father of the woman you love. How romantic.
The only reason I haven't killed you yet is because I thought maybe the plans Miles had for you would be enough. But after hearing her talk about you, the pain I see in her eyes, the anger and fear there, I know only one thing will do. She didn't have to ask me to do it. I wanted to make sure I got you before she did. I wasn't letting your filth touch her ever again. I won't let anything touch her.
You think you're any different than me? You kill to get what you want. It's the same. We just want different things.
Maybe so, I shrug, because on some level this is true. I'd do anything for Paige if it made her smile. She wants you dead. So be it. With that, I pull the trigger. His body drops to the ground. And I only pray that with this, my kitten finds some peace. I stand there wondering if this will be enough to win her back. Tuck the gun away. I'll find a way, or I'll die trying. I see a movement out of the corner of my eye and I freeze. Paige is there with a gun in her hand, and it's down by her side. And she's looking at me with tears in her eyes. She's seen it all. Heard it all. I'm angry that she's here and that she's put herself in what could be a harmful situation. She's had to see another one of her parents die, even if she hated him. I didn't want her to have this memory branded into her brain, too. I didn't want any of this to touch her. Seeing her makes every protective instinct I have push forward. I want to shield her from this dark, ugly world. Kitten, I whisper, and I want to run to her and take her in my arms, but don't know if she'll let me. Her father lies dead between us. Blood coating the dirty floor, and I don't know if she can look at me after this. It's one thing to want him dead, to wish for it to happen. It's another to see the man you love doing it. That is, if she still loves me.
Captain?
She runs to me, throwing herself in my arms and sobbing. I can feel her worry and fear melt away with every breath. I hold her tight and carry her out of this place. Away from the darkness and all the evil that can never touch her again. I take her out to the car and set her down, pulling my gun out and placing it in her lap. Wait here, kitten. I need to finish this. Her eyes are wild, but she nods and holds my weapon. She watches me as I go to the trunk and pull out a gas can and walk back to the building.
The books. Get the books,
she says, making me turn to look at her. I debate it for a second before setting the can down and running back inside. I grab them off the table. When I get back to the car, I hand them to her. I pick up the gas can again and pour it around the perimeter, and then throw the container inside. Standing back, I grab a Zippo out of my back pocket and light it up.
This is for her, you sorry bastard.
I grab a piece of trash and light it. I look at the flame and make sure it's caught before I throw it onto the waiting gas and watch the building ignite. I turn and walk away. No one will look into this too much, because they were all known criminals. And if anyone does decide to dig, I've still got enough pull to make it go away. Nobody is going to miss that piece of shit, and this world would be a better place without the filth he brought to it. When I get into the car, I reach over and pull Paige onto my lap. It's dangerous and probably illegal, but I drive back to our building with her in my arms. I'll be damned if I ever let her go again.
27. Paige. Where are we going? I ask, burying my face back in his neck, when we get in the elevator and he hits the button to the wrong